From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. A convoy, on many accounts, would have been desirable for the pilgrim band, but a holy shamefacedness would not allow Ezra to seek one. He feared lest the heathen king should seek his professions of faith in God to be mere hypocrisy, or imagine that the God of Israel was not able to preserve his own worshippers. He could not bring his mind to lean on an arm of flesh in a matter so evidently of the Lord. And therefore the caravan set out with no visible protection, guarded by him who is the sword and shield of his people. It is to be feared that few believers feel this holy jealousy for God. Even those who in a measure walk by faith occasionally mar the luster of their life by craving aid from man. It is a most blessed thing to have no props and no buttresses, but to stand upright on the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Would any believers seek state endowments for their church if they remembered that the Lord is dishonored by their asking Caesar's aid? As if the Lord could not supply the needs of his own cause. Should we run so hastily to friends and relations for assistance if we remembered that the Lord is magnified by our implicit reliance upon his solitary arm? My soul, wait thou only upon God. But, says one, are not means to be used? Assuredly they are. But our fault seldom lies in their neglect. Far more frequently, it springs out of foolishly believing in them instead of believing in God. Few run too far neglecting the creature's arm, but very many sin greatly in making too much of it. Learn, beloved, to glorify the Lord by leaving means untried, if by using them thou wouldst dishonor the name of the Lord.
For uttermost salvation to
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Dr. Cairns continues this series in the Law of God as he brings another portion of a message entitled, Loving Others. In his summary of the law, Christ said that we are to love others as we love ourselves. Using the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, our Lord emphasized that believers must never ask, "Who is my neighbor?" Rather, God's people are to seek to be neighbors to anyone in need, without regard to their station in life or the sin of which they have been guilty. The truth is that if we profess to love God, we must love others. Too often we are guilty of loving and helping only those who are able to reciprocate. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Loving Others.
You cannot love the Lord and be indifferent to men and women around you in all their need. The Apostle John put it this way in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now that's strong language. You say you love God, but you have no interest in men and women around you. You have no interest in serving them or loving them. God says your love for God is a figment of your imagination. It's a product of your own making. It is a lie. Because if you love God, you must love your fellow men. More specifically, if you love the law of God, you must love your fellow men. I got to thinking about this week, it occurred to me that all too often we make, and I say we, I mean Christians generally, but particularly those of us who are fundamental Bible-believing Christians are prone to fall into this sin by the very zeal that we have for the Word of God. But all too often we make our supposed love for God's law an excuse to despise men. We look at those men and what are they? They are lawbreakers. They are vicious sinners. They are rebels against God. And all too often we write them off as such. Whereas in reality, that's all the more reason why we should love them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's an important lesson for us all. We can take it to the workplace. We can take it in our dealings with sinners generally. We can bring it into the home. There's a lesson here especially for Christian parents. If you set out to deal with your children by a law that excludes the love of the gospel, you will feel to teach your children either law or gospel. That truth will carry over beyond the home to every other area of life, because love is the fulfillment of the law. The Bible teaches me that hatred and hatefulness are marks of the world. They are marks of sin. Titus chapter 3 verse 3 puts it like this, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the way we were before we were saved. But grace changes all that. Now what's the opposite of that? According to that teaching, Christians should be both lovable and loving. Now those are strange words, unfortunately, in the pulpit nowadays. You say you're a Christian. Well, just take those two words I've used and start applying them to yourself. How lovable are you? God's people are called in Scripture a peculiar people. And mind you, as many a time they are. The only thing is, you see, that the word peculiar has a totally different meaning today than it had when our translators translated the Bible. Them, it meant they were a special treasure. It's the meaning of the word peculiar. They're a special treasure to God and to each other. Now, peculiar means odd, strange. And I fear that very often that's the only kind of peculiarity you get among many Christians. Christians should be lovable people. It should be hard to dislike a Christian. Now, the ungodly will do that anyway, no matter how hard it is. But it should be something they have to push themselves to do, and it will be a response to your stand and your love for God. But as a character, your entire character should be something lovable. When you bring this into the home, for example, this should be the overriding character. You'll not have love at the heart of a home unless the characters in that home are lovable characters and then loving characters. Lovable and loving. In the home, in the church, in the workplace. According to Titus 3, verse 3, that is the description that should mark the people of God. So, if you love God, you should love your fellow man. You're not to be bitter. You're not to be spiteful. You're not to be hateful and causing hatred. Furthermore, you must not limit this love to a few, but bestow it generally on all men. The Lord Jesus says, love your neighbor. He even goes further, and in Matthew 5:44, he says, love your enemies. Paul told the Christians, pray for all men. Peter warned servants whose masters were difficult to get along with. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, also to the perverse. You see, we must show that love to all men. Why? Very simply, because they are men. It's the community of the same human nature that's the basis of this commandment. And that community of nature reminds us that men are the special objects of the grace of God. And God can take our loving witness for Christ, and He can reach out to the hardest, the blackest, the darkest sinner in creation, and turn that man to make him a saint of God. On that basis, therefore, we should love not just the few, but generally our neighbors. Now, it's easy to say that, but we all tend to love those who love us, or who may love us. We give to those who will give back to us, and then we cut off the rest as unworthy. Have you ever wondered about those words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 14, verse 12 and following? When He said to him that bade him to his home, they said, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Here's the logic of grace. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. This sort of logic makes no sense to the world. But Jesus said, thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, obviously, that is not an absolute statement. The Lord is not saying you can never have your family for dinner, you can never have your friends for dinner. That's not what He's saying. But he's attacking the attitude that we give to those who will give to us. We love those who will love us back. We curry favor with those who are richer or better off in some way than we are, so that we will benefit by what we do to them. The Savior says, forget all that. Take what you are and what you have and employ it in love for those who can't recompense you. And God will bless you for it. So you're to love all men. While love for men flows from our love for God and expresses that love for God, there is one thing, however, we need to add, and that is, it must never replace it. Do you see what the Savior says? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, never as thy God. The love that we bear to others is the love that we have for ourselves, but it can never, never approximate even the love that we bear to God. What the Savior is saying is this, and this opens up a vast field that I am really only going to touch on tonight. But we must never elevate any person to the place that belongs only to the Lord. This is true of the affection we give to people. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There is a sense in which you're to love yourself and love your neighbor, but there is a sense in which you're to hate yourself and hate your neighbor. Is there a contradiction? No, no. What the Savior is saying is that there is an affection, there is a devotion, there is a love that belongs solely to the Lord. And do not let anybody steal that devotion. Our application of God's law must always be with biblical love. We have pointed that out. But what the Savior is saying here is specifically this: our expression of love should always be within the bounds of God's law. Allow no earthly love to keep you from Christ. If you allow anybody to keep you from Christ, you are loving man rather than God. Allow no person, be it father or mother or children or brothers or sisters or friends or acquaintance, allow no man, no woman to keep you from Christ. Allow no earthly love to make you disobey God. If you disobey God out of a love for some man, woman, or thing on earth, then you have replaced God on the throne of your heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but never as thy God. Put no earthly relationship before the Savior. Let no man come between you and doing God's will. Now that is a vital, vital truth for every person who needs to be saved, because there's somebody standing between you and the Lord. Somewhere in the shadows of your life, if you're not a Christian tonight, I guarantee somewhere there's somebody pulling you away from Christ. There's somebody somewhere using an influence to keep you away from Christ. What the Savior is saying, do not allow that. Do not allow that. Make sure none comes between you and the Savior. And even if you are a Christian, there will often come the time when God sets before you the course of His will. And there will be someone in your life, saved or unsaved, who will stand in the way. I've dealt with people who have been born again. They have known and loved the Savior. But there comes a crisis in life when they're going to lose a lifelong friendship or maybe a family relationship if they obey God. the decision becomes very critical. But the Savior is adamant. You must not allow anyone to come between you and doing God's will. So when he says you're not to elevate anybody to the place that God should have in your life, he means that you shouldn't give them the affection that belongs solely to the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.